Because the recovery of communities from the destruction of Hurricane Sandy is taking such a long time, it may be difficult to imagine that there have been many other comparable times in New York City's history. But obviously, New York has experienced some serious disasters in the past. And we have invited New York City historian Kenneth Jackson to remind us of some of them and to discuss some of the lessons we can learn from those events. Mr. Jackson is the Jacques Barzin Professor of History and the Social Sciences at Columbia University. He served as president of the New York Historical Society. I'm very pleased to welcome him back to our show. Hi.
Pleasure to be here.
How does the destruction from Sandy compare with previous disasters in New York City?
Well, I would say, excepting the World Trade Center, and I don't know how we classify that, it's certainly not a natural disaster. It would probably rank close to the worst disaster. The fires of 1776, 1778, and 1835 were all massive in their destruction. The two were in the American Revolution, and the 1835 fire still rates as the great fire of New York City. And then the...
Well, but after those fires, didn't New York go on to be to pass Philadelphia as the great city of the nation?
Well, indeed. I think one of the things we learn from some of these disasters is that they don't really usually knock cities off their perches. I mean, the greatest natural disaster was the Chicago fire of 1871, and that's really a footnote in the progress of Chicago in the 19th century. They just built the city back a little bit bigger. So if a city is really doing well, I don't think there are many instances where, by the way, Galveston, Texas being an exception.
Well, San Francisco earthquake.
Well, but San Francisco comes back. I mean, that's a much worse, obviously, event than Hurricane Sandy or really even the World Trade Center. But San Francisco comes back after 1906.
Does the financial district have a particularly long history of disaster? It's been the target of a number of terrorist attacks. It's had destructive fires and is in some parts still recovering from Sandy.
Well, Leonard, I would say that the larger narrative arc, if we can put it that way, is that New York has been relatively free from disasters over the last 400 years, which doesn't mean we haven't had fires or occasional hurricanes or actually epidemic disease and stuff like this. But when you look at the fact that North America is a particularly wild continent as compared with Europe, for example, and when you think of the tornadoes, the landslides, the forest fires, the floods, which are so common in the United States, the New York metropolitan region has basically been, again, the word is relatively tranquil. Now, of course, we have had problems. In addition to the fires we mentioned, there have been the occasional hurricane or nor'easter. There have been terrible epidemics, I think, of cholera, really in 1833 and 1849. There hasn't really been a flood in New York. I mean, just think of how Fargo and how the Mississippi River overflows its banks. Hudson River has been fairly benign. The Great Harbor of New York, for these past four centuries, has always been the great advantage of New York City.
But we have had snowstorms, we've had power blackouts, and a recent poll indicates that people who live outside of Manhattan feel the borough gets preferential treatment whenever there's a disaster of this sort.
Well, yes, we have had blizzards, but I suspect a person in Buffalo would not really regard even the Great Blizzard of 1888 as particularly bad, and we've had tornadoes touch down here and there, but nothing that anybody in Kansas would notice. So again, if you just say, have we ever had a tornado or hurricane? Yes, we have. Have we ever had an event like Sandy? No, we have not. Now, of course, Manhattan did get some preferential treatment. On the other hand, Manhattan is the economic engine of a region that's 22 million people. I mean, if you leave out Wall Street and the financial skyscrapers, you're in a lot of trouble in the local economy. But I think we should say that even now, there are places in lower Manhattan that are still in a lot of trouble.
Mm-hmm. But you're saying that because of our geographic location, we have escaped the sorts of things that we've seen elsewhere in this country?
Oh, yes. I mean, when you think about how Florida and New Orleans and other places in the Gulf of Mexico have seen hurricane after hurricane, been declared disaster areas, received all sorts of federal largesse, New York has almost never gotten that sort of stuff. So it's been a one-way funnel to other parts of the country. This is really one of those rare instances where New York got really whacked. I mean, Sandy, I think, was much worse than we even anticipated. And we don't even now see what the ultimate costs are going to be. So let's not in any way reduce the significance of what just happened here. But I think also it should make us aware that for most of the previous centuries, basically we didn't have to worry about whether we were going to drown tonight or whether there's going to be a great storm or something like that. Many people in the United States worry about such things. Most New Yorkers have not.
What about the great hurricane of 1938, which made landfall on Long Island as a Category 3 storm? How did that compare? I'm assuming that it wasn't as destructive in some ways because there weren't as many houses along the waterfronts in the late
30s. Well, it did a lot of damage, Leonard, on, you know, again, moving out Long Island. But it mostly missed the city. That's one thing. And secondly, it was Category 3, so in a way it was worse than Sandy. But the thing was, Sandy hit in conjunction with high tide and a full moon. So there were a series of coincidences that made what we saw 3 weeks ago, or a little less, worse than what we had previously experienced. To me, the question is, was it just a complete fluke, since we had not really ever seen Manhattan flood or the Easter Hudson River's flood, I mean, where you really went underwater? Is that just a fluke that won't happen for another 2,000 years because it hadn't happened in 400 years since the white man's been here? Or are we right about global warming? The level of the ocean is rising. The climate is getting more extreme. And forget about what happened or didn't happen in the 18th and 19th and 20th centuries. This is a new century with new weather patterns, and we better get our act together.
I'm talking with Kenneth T. Jackson, the Jacques Barzin Professor of History and the Social Sciences at Columbia University, about New York City disasters of the past. This is WNYC, WNYC.org. I'm Leonard Lopate. We have learned from some of the disasters. Weren't we one of the first cities to come up with a really good fire department?
I think it's one of the great treasures of New York is the FDNY. Essentially, I slightly overstate the case, we have not had a fire since the fire department was created. And I mean in the terms of a fire department, a fire that was out of control. The great disasters, and even now, I mean, in some ways, the worst residential fire in New York history in terms of number of houses was just when Sandy and on Rockaways. When everything at Breezy Point, not everything, but more than 100 houses were destroyed. We'd never seen that since the fire department was created in 1865.
Well, we did have the Brooklyn Theater fire in 1876, the Triangle Shirtwaist fire in 1911. They were pretty tragic.
Okay, but first of all, the Brooklyn Theater, which killed 295 people, I think, in 1876, but that was before Brooklyn was part of New York City, so we can't put that at the door of the fire department of New York. The Triangle Shirtwaist fire in 1911 was really smoke. I mean, it was really because the owners of the Triangle Shirtwaist Company had locked those doors so those 146 young women really could not escape. And it was just beyond the reach of the seven-story ladders that they put up there. So it was a tragedy, but 146 people does not put it in the top 100 American disasters. And then the worst disaster in New York City history before the World Trade Center was the burning of the General Slocum, which was an excursion boat that was in 1904 that killed more than 1,100, or we don't really know the exact number, let's call it 1,100, mostly women and children who were members of a Lutheran church on East 6th Street, and 1,100 people. But again, that's a ship fire in the East River and then the Harlem River and Hellgate. But it's hard to blame the fire department for that. I mean, there were a lot of people to blame, and it was a great disaster. And, of course, it led to improvements in fire safety. And the Triangle fire is important not because of the number of people who were killed, but because of the changes in workplace laws and which way doors, and you couldn't lock doors. So the Triangle fire has a place in American history far beyond the number of people who died simply because of its influence on the future. which is an important thing for New York City. I mean, it's the response to the disaster that's often as important as the disaster itself.
New York's public transportation system was hit hard by Sandy. It's still recovering in some areas. Have there been major disasters for the transportation system before, at least on this level?
Well, not on the level of flood. There was the Malbone Street crash in Brooklyn.
That was 1918, and a lot of people died?
Yes. I mean, I don't have the number right here, but it was the worst mass transit disaster, really, in New York history. The subways, again, I think the larger narrative is how incredibly safe they have been. At one point, it went 40 years without a single fatality. When you think there are 4, 5, 6, 8 million people a day using it, that's quite incredible. But clearly, Sandy and flooding went on to the Brooklyn Battery Tunnel, the tunnels, subway tunnels under the East River, the South Heath Street ferry stop. I think what we saw with Hurricane Sandy is an inundation of salt water into the system, which was, we don't even know how destructive it was even yet.
A listener asks if you will comment on the way the electricity and the subways were incapacitated during Sandy, because they still run on direct current.
Well, I can't speak about direct versus indirect current, but I can say that I think in the future we're going to have to relocate some of those things above ground. Again, the subway system had been operating for more than 100 years in New York, and essentially those systems had not been flooded. And so you can sort of forgive the planners for not thinking, well, if it's never happened, it's not going to happen. Well, that may not be so good in the future because, as I said, it looks as if the weather's changing and that what was okay 75 years ago is not okay now. But, you know, it may turn out to be, in some of those systems in the subways were antiquated anyway. So what I'm hoping is that in the rebuilding of some of those systems, we'll have a better subway that will result.
Now, you're saying climate change may be a cause. There are people who will argue against that. They will say that there have been equally terrible things in the past, blizzards and hurricanes, but the big difference is that the population was smaller and there weren't as many people living along coastlines and along waterfronts, and that is what is one of the reasons that Sandy has been so much more destructive.
Well, I hear you, Leonard, and I think you probably are right. When you look at the United States as a whole, there may have been terrible hurricanes 200 years ago, but nobody lived along those coasts very much, so it was like the tree falling in the forest. And clearly, Manhattan is even more built up now than it was 100 or 200 years ago.
And we're moving people to the riverfronts, where in the past people stayed in the middle of the boroughs.
Well, right. Well, I mean, just think of Manhattan's long history. One of the unusual things is that the primary arc, especially of elite growth, was along the central spine of the island, essentially Fifth Avenue toward Central Park and then Park Avenue and Central Park West, and not along the East and Hudson Rivers, partly because those were tramp steamers and oil and stuff like this. So we actually put public housing on the Lower East Side on the water. But now what we've seen in the last 35 years in New York was a move to the water as the warehouses and factories left the city, and that's become more desirable. And I think the Meatpacking District or Williamsburg would be Exhibit A there. But now the question will be, as we move forward, will people not ask themselves, wait, I'm not sure, maybe Jane Street or West 12th or West Avenue, isn't that a little low? Isn't it a little close to the water?
Mm. A listener writes in, he'd read a book called The New York Harbor Before 1865 that claimed the Great Fire was caused partially by a flood in Manhattan.
Well, but not a very, when I mean a flood, I'm thinking of Fargo, North Dakota, or New Orleans. I mean, again, of course there have been floods in New York, but I'm talking about a flood that really, where the Hudson River would lap, oh, you know, let's say put 125th Street underwater, or Hoboken. To my knowledge, there was never a time when Hoboken, which is partly below sea level, has ever flooded, or the streets around there, really, where water was really coming up, and I think that's why people didn't give it a lot of thought. But the Great Fire of 1835 at least has the result both of helping move faster the new Croton Aqueduct water system, which has given New York City essentially the best big city water system in the world, and also to push forward the urging to have a professional fire department, because really that Great Fire of 1835, the volunteer companies really could not handle it.
Now, one of the concerns about climate change is that water levels are rising, which would suggest that any storm of the sort that we've seen with Sandy would create more damage simply because the water in our rivers and in our oceans are inches higher than they were in the past?
Exactly, and I think that is the concern. And I suspect that many planners and builders as we speak are trying to think about, you know, how do we maybe move those generators or move those backup computers instead of in the basement, maybe they should be on the fourth floor or somewhere else. Not because it's likely we'll have another storm anytime soon, but because it's not as impossible as we once thought, and we have to anticipate this.
Now, we've had other electrical power blackouts, but is this the longest-lasting one?
I think so. I mean, it seems like, first of all, I think people have noticed that extreme weather seems to be becoming less unusual, that we seem to be having more of it in recent years and decades, and the power outages are longer. I mean, you know, we live in a rainforest, so especially the suburbs of New York. When you have a big wind, a nor'easter or hurricane or tornado or whatever, it's going to knock down trees and they're going to knock down power lines. But they used to fix it in a day or 2 days or 3 days. Here we have a situation where hundreds of thousands of people lost power for a week. Tens of thousands had it out for 12 days or 2 weeks, and there are many people who don't have it back yet. So I think the power outage is with Sandy are much greater than anything we've ever experienced in the past.
Professor Jackson, thank you so much for talking with us. Have you, you've included some of these stories in your books, haven't you?
Well, the Encyclopedia of New York City, for example, has an extensive entry on weather and how the weather has changed and what the barometric pressure was at different times. Interestingly enough, it doesn't have entries on tornadoes and hurricanes because Lisa Keller and I, she was the executive editor, we didn't sort of think those were big topics. You know what I mean? They just didn't happen enough. But we do have epidemics. I mean, one of the things we didn't talk about was the great cholera epidemics of the mid-19th century, which were much more devastating, by the way, than Sandy or any natural disaster, but in which the city did create ultimately a Metropolitan Board of Health, which improved the situation.
So yes.
And then, of course, the draft rights. I mean, when you think about the disasters in New York City, probably the worst was the draft riots of 1863. Not a natural disaster, you know, Civil War, you know, people. But that kills, you know, hundreds of people. The city's out of control for days. But again, the city comes back and it reaches its, it goes on to greater heights after the draft riots.
And I guess you're suggesting that Hurricane Sandy actually will teach us some lessons and we will be better prepared if something like this happens in the future?
Well, unfortunately, I think it's a characteristic of human nature that we only learn from disasters. You know, we'd rather put it off, whether it's getting insurance, trimming our trees, putting power things underground or above ground or whatever. But I think we will learn from this, yes.
Kenneth T. Jackson is a historian of New York despite his Southern accent. We've discussed that in the past. The second edition of his encyclopedia is the most recent title under his name. He is also the Jacques Barzin Professor of History and the Social Sciences at Columbia University. He served for a time as president of the New York Historical Society. And I thank you so much for being on our show again.
It's always a pleasure, Leonard.